We can't allow a situation like happened in Minneapolis to descend further into lawless anarchy and chaos.
Unrest in both Hong Kong and the United States. It's Monday, June 1st. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us on Instagram and Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, the U.S. presidential election process takes an unexpected turn. One virus success in hard-hit India. A teen COVID conqueror seeing through masks. A summer camp dilemma. It's all on today's VOA Asia. We begin here in the United States, where the death of a handcuffed black man who begged for air as a white police officer kneeled on his neck has ignited protests in cities across the country. President Donald Trump said he supports peaceful protests, but warned he will not allow the situation to descend further into lawless anarchy and chaos. We hear more from White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Sawara.
No justice, no peace!
More protests break out in Minneapolis, Minnesota, Friday over the death of George Floyd. Floyd is a black man who died May 25th after a white police officer held his knee on the man's neck for nearly 8 minutes. Floyd was unarmed and in handcuffs and can be heard pleading for his life, crying out, "I can't breathe." The officer, Derek Chauvin, is now in custody, charged with third-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter in Floyd's death. President Donald Trump has asked to expedite the investigation into Floyd's death.
We have peaceful protesters and support the rights for peaceful protesters. We can't allow a situation like happened in Minneapolis to descend further into lawless anarchy and chaos.
In a Friday tweet that has been labeled by Twitter as glorifying violence, Trump vowed to send in the military if needed. Trump also said, "When the looting starts, the shooting starts," a phrase used in the 1960s by a Miami police chief accused of racist tactics. Critics accused Trump of stoking violence.
He's actually igniting the racial divisions. We're sitting on a powder keg as it is. We've been sitting on one. Even more so since he took office in 2016, but arguably we've been sitting on the same powder keg for hundreds of years. So he's someone who's a flamethrower.
Minnesota Governor Tim Walz acknowledged the black community's decades of anguish and pain, but called for the looting and violence to stop.
We cannot have it because we can't function as a society, and I refuse to have it take away the attention of the stain that we need to be working on is what happened with those fundamental institutional racism that allows a man to be held down in broad daylight.
The protests have spread throughout the country. A protester rammed down in Denver, Colorado, and 7 people shot in Louisville, Kentucky, as protesters demand justice for Breonna Taylor, a black woman shot and killed by police when they entered her home in March.
We used to hang a flag out of our window saying another man was lynched yesterday. We are at a point now that we have to hang out that flag once again on social media to say we're done dying.
From his Delaware home, the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden said the open wound of systemic racism was behind Floyd's death.
None of us can turn away. None of us can be silent. None of us can any longer can we hear the words, "I can't breathe," and do nothing.
The number of protesters and police officers in close quarters across the United States has raised concerns large gatherings will trigger spikes in the nation's coronavirus cases. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News, Washington.
Meanwhile, on Friday, President Trump angrily reacted to the new security law Beijing seeks to impose in Hong Kong.
The Chinese government's move against Hong Kong is the latest in a series of measures that are diminishing the city's long-standing and very proud status. This is a tragedy for the people of Hong Kong, the people of China, and indeed the people of the world.
The president announced a series of actions he plans to take.
I am directing my administration to begin the process of eliminating policy exemptions that give Hong Kong different and special treatment. My announcement today will affect the full range of agreements we have with Hong Kong, from our extradition treaty to our export controls on dual-use technologies and more, with few exceptions. We will be revising the State Department's travel advisory for Hong Kong to reflect the increased danger of surveillance and punishment by the Chinese state security apparatus. We will take action to revoke Hong Kong's preferential treatment as a separate customs and travel territory from the rest of China.
You can find more on our website at voanews.com. These are among some of the top Asia stories you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Hong Kong on borrowed time as China pushes for more control. Tokyo set to allow more businesses to reopen. Six Papuan activists convicted of treason are freed. Hearings begin into Australia bushfire disaster. India to open some shopping malls, hotels, and restaurants. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and much more when you go to Facebook at VOA Asia and the VOAnews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Tomorrow, June 2nd, was supposed to be the finish line for what seemed to be an endless 2020 U.S. presidential primary campaign. But the coronavirus pandemic has changed all that. Steve Reddish tells us more.
The Democrats were on their way to picking a presidential nominee. Then the coronavirus hit.
You're on the ventilator right now.
Once Joe Biden won the March 10th primaries, states started postponing their primary elections to prevent crowds at voting places and use the time to expand the vote-by-mail option.
It is an unreasonable burden on our fundamental right to vote to require that we vote in person when we know that congregating with others in person creates a significant risk of infection and then transmission of the disease to other people.
No longer are Montana, New Mexico, South Dakota, and the District of Columbia alone in voting Tuesday, June 2nd. Idaho, Indiana, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Rhode Island moved their primaries to the same date. Eight other states are holding primaries all the way through August, with the final contest taking place less than a week before the Democratic National Convention. Democrats are considering virtual elements to minimize the number of people going to their convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Not so for Republicans, at least not publicly. President Donald Trump is pressuring the governor of the state of North Carolina to commit to staging a live convention in the city of Charlotte, or Republicans will go elsewhere, the president being fond of taking the stage at large rallies.
Older people, I think, are going to be nervous about going to big gatherings for quite some time now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you could imagine a 65-year-old state party chair and or 65-year-old big funder from the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, saying, I think I'm going to skip this. I just don't feel comfortable going.
There is similar concern that voter turnout for the November presidential election will take a hit if steps are not taken soon to allow more voting by mail, which President Trump says he opposes.
The hope is that by the time people are ready to cast their ballots in a general election, there will be enough procedures in place that you really won't see that much of a drop-off, if any at all. But that will require preparation.
Meantime, with an all but certain sweep of Tuesday's primaries, Joe Biden should wake up Wednesday, June 3rd, with enough pledged delegates to clinch the Democratic Party nomination. Biden is expected to pick his vice presidential nominee in early August. Steve Reddish, VOA News, Washington.
Happening now in Asia, India reported more than 8,000 new cases of the coronavirus in a single day, another record high that topped the deadliest week for the country. The new cases are largely concentrated in six Indian states, including the capital, New Delhi. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad you can join us for a brand new week here on VOA Asia. Like the rest of the country, India's northern state of Himachal Pradesh is battling the coronavirus pandemic, but it has kept the number of cases relatively low with the help of extensive contact tracing and a network of community health workers. The state is also working to address the social stigma that is becoming associated with the infection in India. Anjana Pasricha has this report.
This ambulance has been converted into a testing van for COVID-19 to reach people in distant villages in Himachal Pradesh's Kangra district. In another rural hamlet, doctors conduct tests in a school building. To control coronavirus in this mountainous state, authorities are using a system of contact tracing that involves tracking anyone who has been in contact with an infected person to break the chain of transmission.
As soon as we get a positive, within an hour or half an hour, we are able to trace the entire contact. And the very next day we get them tested, or if they have completed the, let's say, the incubation period of 5 to 7 days.
Extensive surveillance by a network of community health workers soon after coronavirus began spreading helped raise awareness and identify people with symptoms in Kangra district.
We made teams, but there were not enough health workers, so we roped in teachers and other community volunteers to cover the entire population. Teams of two would go to every household to collect data.
However, the ravaging virus keeps everyone on edge. In recent weeks, thousands of migrant workers returning from other parts of the country have brought in new infections, setting off a scramble to set up quarantine centers.
This is a learning experience for all of us. Creating facilities in a day notice, it is a difficult challenge. And how we handle them? We have to create a facility, provide them proper arrangement, make proper arrangements for their stay, their food, their medical examination, other needs. And we have to ensure proper social distancing.
Some are being sent to home quarantine.
Every day call aate hain, kabhi wo ghar pe.
Every day, I and my family get calls asking how I am feeling and if I am displaying any symptoms and how we are following quarantine procedures.
The battle against the virus has to be waged on yet another front, the social stigma that deadly infections can bring.
In the past, we have stigmatized many other viruses, people suffering from such viruses like HIV, TB and many others. And we have spent crores of money in ensuring that that stigma is removed. And we don't want it to happen with the corona, COVID. So from day one, since we have got our first patient in Kangra, once they recover, we are approaching them, we are visiting them, we are giving them bouquets, we are handshaking them.
That initiative may have to continue for a long time. The course the pandemic takes remains uncertain, and although the numbers here are among the lowest in India, they have been rising in recent days. Anjana Pasricha for VOA News, New Delhi.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to easily find them. VOA Asia Twitter, we're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia: two U.S. astronauts docked SpaceX's newly designed Crew Dragon capsule at the International Space Station Sunday. The mission is the first on a private rocket nearly a decade after the last launch of astronauts from U.S. soil. To find all the big stories throughout the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook, this is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, Avi Schiffman is just 17 years old, but already he has built one of the most popular coronavirus tracking websites in the world. The site gets more than 30 million visits a day. Many consider Schiffman a genius. He's been offered high-paying jobs and contracts. He's the winner of the 2020 Webby Award for Person of the Year. But even with all that, the teenager says he wants to keep focusing on what he thinks is most important. Anusha Vetsin has the story.
I just coded it by watching, you know, YouTube videos and just asking questions. And, you know, it's not super complicated to program. It's just basically a bunch of complex web scrapers and, you know, a nice looking design. But, you know, I think what's more important is that, you know, I took the initiative to make this when there was just nobody talking about it.
On December 29, 2019, high school student Avi Schiffman launched a domain called ncov2019.live that tracks the spread of the coronavirus across the globe. Web design is not new to the 17-year-old Schiffman. When he started his coronavirus tracker, he had no idea the virus will turn into a pandemic and his tracker into a universally known project.
You know, if I wanted the most up-to-date numbers, I'd have to go to, like, local Chinese government websites that were, you know, all in Chinese and, you know, hard to read. Or I could read news articles, but they were mostly out of date by the time I read them anyways, and, you know, it doesn't change or anything. So, you know, I started working on a dashboard thing that would be, you know, really visually appealing, especially on, like, a mobile device that, you know, you could just easily get the most up-to-date numbers, just all in one place for all the countries. And since then, you know, I've gained over 700 million visitors and, you know, visitors from every single country every single day.
In early March, Schiffman says it was scary when the first U.S. cases were reported in his home state of Washington. But since he had already been tracking the virus, Schiffman says he felt prepared and already had N95 masks that he bought even before prices spiked. On March 11th, the World Health Organization raised the status of the coronavirus to a pandemic. Countries began enforcing strict quarantine measures and many began searching the web for the word pandemic. His website was ready to go after years of practice on computers.
I just kind of started when I was a little kid, around like when I was 7. And, you know, I guess my dad was just really into computers and there was always just computers just around.
Schiffman has already created more than 30 websites in 10 years, but he is especially proud of his global COVID tracker. He says the information is as accurate as the information that governments release. For now, he is rejecting other job offers.
I don't really care that much about working as like a career programmer, like 9 to 5. I feel like that would take a lot of the fun and just the motivation I have out of programming. And, you know, I want to make something that, you know, people actually use. And so I don't want to just be like another name on like a contributor list.
In 2020, Schiffman won the Webby Award for the Person of the Year. Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, presented him with the award granted for excellence on the Internet. Anusha Vitisyan for VOA News, Washington.
How to stay healthy. Wash your hands with soap and water before you eat, after using the toilet, after touching anything many other people touch, like a seat on a public bus. Scrub thoroughly for 20 seconds. If you cannot wash your hands, use a hand sanitizer. Taking these steps can prevent not only coronavirus, but also colds and flu and other viruses.
Now on VOA Asia, what began worldwide as an essential item during the pandemic for the deaf and mute has now become the latest must-have for some Italian businesses reemerging after months of lockdown. VOA's Mariama Diallo reports on an Italian fashion company making see-through masks.
When the coronavirus hit Italy in March, Doriana Marini had a choice: shut down her factory of fashions or create something else to pitch in during the pandemic.
Anyone can use this device to have easier communication, not just with words, but also with gestures, facial expressions, lip movements, for example, to send a kiss.
With stitching equipment ready to go, she designed her first washable medically certified surgical mask, which is also transparent. A transparent face mask is particularly important for persons who are deaf and need to read lips to communicate, but it's also important for businesses whose employees deal with the public.
We began with requests from specific entities, such as for deaf individuals, and now we sell it and receive orders from the most varied sectors, such as hotels, restaurants, schools, and also beauticians, hairdressers, anyone who needs to have a smile while at work.
Stylist Barbara Celli welcomes clients who've waited for months for a haircut.
Clients are coming back from a difficult time and are in need of a smile, so being able to show your mouth is very important.
At gelato shop Cremose, workers embracing the new look say it has improved customer relations.
These transparent masks are very important for us because in our job, the most important thing is a smile, first thing. A smile and also to be able to quickly understand the customer and have them understand you, too.
And a dental hygienist says the transparent mask helps her communicate important details with patients who are deaf or hard of hearing.
Especially in my job when I try to explain toothbrushing techniques, the patient relies also on watching lip movements.
These specialty made masks go for about $7 each. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
With the school year coming to an end, parents in the United States are facing a new challenge: how to entertain their children during their break. Usually there would be hundreds of camps open, but as the coronavirus continues to affect daily life in the United States, most facilities can't guarantee they will be open. Lisa Bakalets has the story narrated by Anna Rice.
Mother of three, Nadezhda Nikiforova, lives in Virginia. She has always relied heavily on summer camps to keep her kids entertained during the school vacation. But this year is very different, especially when it comes to her oldest son.
We wanted to take him to the adventure camp. Their children do mountain climbing, kayaking, and other age-appropriate extreme sports. We also wanted to do another camp later. This one focuses on programming because my kid loves computers.
Nadezhda paid for both camps in winter. So far, neither has committed to opening the camps for the school break.
I would say about 25% of our resident camps have made a definitive decision not to operate this summer, and the remainder of them either have decided that they can't decide yet, or they've decided and know that could change.
Authorities in Montgomery County, Maryland, have decided to cancel all summer camps until further notice. When the lockdown in the state is lifted, they will reopen the camps.
We didn't want to hold on to families' money, and we knew right now is a critical time, so we decided that we would go ahead and cancel the current summer camp session and refund families' money back to them so that they could have that.
When summer camps do reopen, however, there'll be restrictions and new rules galore.
You're having considerable distance between each camper's head, right? And also making sure that there's a specific distance between beds, right? Definitely contact sports, not permitted.
Normally it would probably be the two adults and 10 or 12 kids, and then they would get handed off to another adult or two for archery and another adult or two for swimming and another adult or two for zip lining. Now they will stay with the same couple of adults all the time.
Face masks, disinfecting of surfaces and rooms, and temperature checks will become part of daily life. Summer camps will need time to adapt to the new reality, so the start of the season might be pushed back this year.
While normally June is our heaviest month, and I honestly don't know if it actually is or not, so I don't want to say one way or the other, but I do know that we've moved a significant amount of our programs back to July and August.
But despite these difficulties, the American Camp Association believes some camps will open this summer, not virtually.
This summer, more than any summer ever, children need camp experiences when they will have the opportunity to spend time face-to-face, heart-to-heart, head-to-head with other boys and girls to regain an opportunity to be curious and to be empathetic and human.
Every year, more than 15,000 summer camps operate in the U.S., with over 20 million children spending time there. This year, they expect a fraction of that. For Lesia Bakalets in Washington, Anna Rice, VOA News.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. We're also on Instagram and Twitter. And you can see us on YouTube. We thank you so much for joining us today. And we thank our managing editor, Diane Gao, our VOA Asia team that includes Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Pulpyboon. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Be safe. Be well.